Welcome to a special edition of the Florida Specifier Podcast. I'm Ryan Matthews, and I'm joined by my co-host, Brett Cyphers. This episode is actually a little bit different from our normal run-of-the-mill show. It's a combination of a few recordings we did while we were down in Marco Island, as always, for the Environmental Permitting Summer School. You will hear from Frank Walker with the Florida Chamber of Commerce, the original sponsor and supporter of summer school. We had not yet had the opportunity to catch up with Frank on the Florida Specifier Podcast, so it was great to be joined by him, talk a little bit about the history of the relationship between the Florida Environmental Network and the Florida Chamber of Commerce. And then you'll also hear from Jeff Littlejohn and myself to wrap up summer school, which, you know, as we sit here in October, it is still winding down. And really, the planning process for 2025 has already commenced.
Yeah, I think I saw an email about registration for next year coming up in the end of this month now in October. So the end of October, right?
That's right. We originally had it somewhere early, mid-October, but, you know, we had the unfortunate multiple hurricane exercise with Milton and Helene. So we wanted to give everybody time to focus on what's most important.
The idea, and just to kind of give our listeners an idea of what we're trying to do down there, we've got everyone basically in the same place all at once. A lot of these folks, and we've recorded some other ones that we're gonna put out a little bit of time. Otherwise, it would be 3-4 hours of tape that we're recording. But it's a chance to get to know some of the folks that go to summer school. But in order to kind of push into, like, how do you make, and I think it's one of the things that you've talked about, Ryan, was how do you make summer school all year round? And that's kind of what we hope that the Specifier does, whether it's in the podcast or the print edition or the newsletters that Pat and Tracy are putting out every Monday. It's a chance to do that, right?
That's right. And I don't know how much we've actually talked about that. I think we've brought it up here and there, and probably in the original Florida Specifier podcast, that first episode we did, we talked with Jeff and about his idea of becoming a media mogul. And quite frankly, both the newspaper and this podcast were originally intended and are still intended to continue the Marco conversation throughout the year. And again, that's with, you know, environmental professionals, regulators, lawyers, engineers, lobbyists, scientists, etc. The fact of the matter is that it costs money to put on these podcast episodes, right? It costs money to run a paper. And so one of the benefit that our listeners will hear as we get sort of these future sponsor snippets is this is the platform for those entities to talk about who they are and what they do. You've got a very successful podcast that I'm not jealous of that you do without me called Water for Fighting. And, you know, I think that you do a great job of capturing who the professionals are who are participating in this space. And what you and I have visualized and talked about with the Florida Specifier podcast is, let's focus a little bit more on entity-specific endeavors. Let's talk about projects.
Yeah.
And I believe, and I'm biased, of course, is that, you know, we provide a sponsor of this podcast with the platform to sort of humanize some of the massively effective work that they're doing in the natural resource space.
Yeah, or ramp up for that matter. It's like that's what the Specifier is built around and even by, right? We get writers every single month that are professionals, you know, in the environmental field, and they provide their expertise in the form of content. And in the Specifier podcast, you know, I think we saw it the same way, which is, how do you get people who are literally doing the work right now? What is it that they're doing? How is it important to the people out there that are listening? Because the people that are listening are those same professionals and policymakers. And so, you know, how do you create an environment that you don't have to go sifting through your local newspapers or online to get that? It's like, we want to be the place that happens. But you're right. It's like, we are not in our DNA media moguls, and therefore, you know, you don't realize just how much effort, time, and just flat out cost goes into putting these things together. Podcasts obviously being a part of that, but more broadly is the paper itself.
Absolutely. And I don't know about you, but I've had numerous people come up and tell me that they're enjoying the podcast and that they're, you know, learning a lot and kind of hearing more about things that they otherwise would have had to, you know, do significant research on their own to find out. And so, again, if we can be that platform, that's the goal. And I think that, you know, as we lead up to the next edition of the Environmental Permitting Summer School in July of 2025, there are numerous conversations that you and I will have with multiple folks who come on this podcast that will be, you know, beneficial to a whole host of people.
Yeah, no doubt. And, you know, and basically to that note, summer school happens one time a year. The updates are great. It's good to see those folks. It's like, but the idea that you would get the most up-to-date information on these things that are going on, where do you get that, you know, the rest of the year? And so we hope to be able to provide that platform. And so I encourage you, if you're out there, I'm just going to say it, sponsor a podcast. You know, come on, we like to do it anyway. We like talking to you. We like hearing about what's going on. We'll do some of our others. You'll hear from other legislators, both local and state, maybe some federal, over the coming months, but we'd love to hear from you as well. And so not just in the podcast, if you want to write an article, give us a call. Patrick would love to talk to you about how to write an article or even advertise in the paper itself, which is also available. So on that note, should we just kick it off and let people listen to Frank, you and Jeff?
Yeah, let's do that. I think it was an enlightening conversation.
Yeah. It's fitting that this is the last recording that we're doing down here for the Florida Specifier. I've got Jeff Littlejohn, Master of Ceremonies, Wanderer of Convention Center. Yes. And in a second, you'll hear what's happened to his voice over the course of this week, the activities here. And I won't go through his entire resume here, but I would say that, you know, combined with him and Ryan Matthews, they make up essentially the Florida Environmental Network, who's responsible for putting this together. And so I'm glad you guys join me for kind of our little exit interview on Marco Island.
We are winding down the 2024 and 38th tradition of the Environmental Permitting Summer School.
Yeah. How ready are you to wind that down?
I can definitely feel that we're on glide slope, and I love this time, the Friday morning. Everybody is definitely relaxed. No ties left in view, which is a good thing, because I did counsel a few people last year that we would be cutting ties on a set of scissors at the registration desk, so thankfully nobody had to experience that. Definitely looking forward to seeing everything wrapped up, and you can see the exhibit hall clearing out and people are saying goodbyes and all that. It's sad, but it's also nice to wrap this thing up.
Go back in your minds, both of you, if you would, because both your fathers, Chuck Littlejohn and Frank Matthews, were huge parts of water and environmental policy going back to the very beginnings of when Florida started doing that. And you both grew up essentially coming to this and being a huge part of your lives. Go back in time, if you don't mind, and kind of give a compare and contrast to those early days to now from your own minds, because back then you were kids, you know, wandering around doing, you know, crazy things, I'm sure, to now essentially putting it on.
Yeah, I'll start. I mean, you know, I have vivid memories of my father and even Jeff and Chuck, you know, or the other fathers that typically brought their families to Marco Island, fathers and mothers that brought their families to attend the summer school, sort of that jaunt to the pool in between classes where they would come and check on the family and, you know, make sure mom or dad, who's got the children at the time, are okay. And I remember thinking, you know, what are they doing in there? Because we certainly didn't have the conference facilities that we have now. I mean, there were really like literally basement type rooms, classrooms, mm-hmm. where classes were held. And I remember kind of wanting to peer in and see, and Jeff and I laughed about this, but also having multiple conversations with my father about, I would never want to do that. Like that looks miserable. What are you guys doing in there? And so the arcade, playing ping pong, going to the beach and the pool, it still resonates with me.
I have those same memories, Ryan. I was a little older than you, so I could go out on a jet ski or something like that. I remember those memories very fondly. And just like you, I could not imagine how horrible it would be to have to go inside the dungeon and do nerd stuff, you know, because that would keep me from pool time, eating ice cream or riding jet skis. So yeah. I think that experience, if you think about it, Ryan, it may have set us both back half a decade of getting into this business, because we had such the negative connotation of how horrifying it would be to have to come down to Marco Island and not spend your time at the pool beach, have to go inside there with all those other people.
No, I think you're absolutely right. And I mean, you know, we have, it's not as if this is unique or those experiences are unique to you and I. I mean, we've got a number of people who have attended this conference whose children now attend as speakers or instructors or as regulators. And just watching that over time is so cool. And, you know, when Jeff approached me about 4 years ago to become an official part of Florida Environmental Network, you know, it was one of those seminal moments when you can look back on your past experience, but now I get to bring my children to Marco Island every year. And that third week in July is not only circled on the calendar, but I mean, it's something you look forward to throughout the entirety of the year.
Yeah. And obviously my history doesn't go that far back, only about 20 years with the commerce, but my children talk about it like from the day that we leave. And, you know, in terms of, I can't wait to go back. And I'm like, great. And I'm happy for them. And I get to once in a while, you know, see a picture of them recreating somewhere on a beach. And, you know, as we stay busy, you know, during these times. And so in addition to, you know, putting on the conference, you both are also putting on doing your jobs, which extend beyond Marco Island. And so I'm curious, marrying those two things together, kind of those experiences now in terms of, is it easier to do work here because of the nature of the conference with putting it on, or does it make it just a degree of difficulty jumps to about forehead high?
Well, I mean, other than just being behind on emails, this is a great place to do business because everybody that we interact with professionally is here. And this is a very comfortable place to go find somebody, have a 5-minute hallway conversation and you know, really get a lot of good stuff done. And being able to pull different people together that sometimes are hard to pull together, water management districts, DEP, people like that, it's really nice. And then that's just kind of pure unadulterated business. I think the impact of just being able to maintain relationships and see people and not bring up business, but just, you know, ask about their families or see them and see their families and see them in a non-business setting is also very nice. It just, the relationships that you make and sustain down here of carry throughout the year and add a lot of value to, at least to my practice.
The pace is frenetic for sure. And Brett, you've, you know, given me more responsibility now that we're recording the Florida Specifier podcast. And we obviously have the Florida Specifier itself, but I think, Jeff, we'd be remiss if we didn't give January and Alyssa a lot of credit and kudos because there's so many professional responsibilities and simultaneously, you do want to spend that time with your family and you have to have a spouse that's understanding of that. Not only understanding, but probably has better personalities than either Jeff or I.
That's true.
Both January and Alyssa excel there, and as does Karen. So we're all lucky there.
Yeah, and I look forward to making you guys busier and busier as these years go on. I'm already thinking about what this looks like next year as we do, you know, more and more activities, events related to the specifier, whether it be this podcast or work on the paper. I think the response has been gratifying to hear from folks down here that we don't get a chance to hear from saying, hey, thanks for it. And not that, you know, the guys that had the specifier before were bad guys. That's not the case at all. Mm-hmm. But saying thank you for the work that y'all are doing on the specifier. And I think we owe a lot of that to Pat Gillespie and Tracy, you know, putting those things together. But I'm already looking forward to what that looks like in the future. I think Ryan and I don't know if you have, Jeff, but have gotten a lot of feedback in terms of people wanting to do this more. They're saying, hey, I'd love to come on and do that. And we're like, great, running out of minutes in the day down here to do that. But there'll be more room for that during the year. And I hope people are taking advantage of that. Ryan and I both are letting them know and getting the message out that that's possible. And do you guys get the same kind of feedback? And Jeff, we haven't talked as much, you know, this week as Ryan and I have, but are you getting that kind of feedback from?
I am indeed. And I've also reciprocated it. You know, anytime that somebody comes up and has said anything, you know, about the specifier, anything we're pushing out digitally, I've said, you know, please give us more ideas. We're trying to you know, figure this whole thing out. None of us really come from the media world, but I can sense that there's a tremendous interest for pushing more information out on different channels and getting involved. I've had some good ideas presented, and look out for some new things coming soon. I think right after the show, we'll be able to push some new content out that'll be really interesting. We'll maybe see a version or a view of Marco that you haven't seen in the past.
Let me give you the question that Ryan and I have essentially given other people as they've come through, you know, to talk with us for a little while.
And that's regarding, because you do this professionally. You're with the National Stormwater Trust, with OnSite. And so you're doing a whole bunch of work related to a whole bunch of laws and rules that have been passed the last few years. Are you seeing, I know you've set it up to be a place of value to whether you're inside a government or have to work with government. Are you seeing the value or getting the feedback from folks in terms of getting people the information and the interconnects necessary to bring more understanding as, say, the new statewide stormwater rule becomes effective?
Yes, absolutely. It's clear from the interactions among the panelists and with the crowd and the panels that we've got that this mix of private and public sector professionals in these spaces as they talk about these topics, I think that mix is really, really important because you're bringing the different perspectives together, you know, at the panel up front, and the interaction between them when we can provoke it or otherwise encourage it is really meaningful. And then just the fact that even in some of our largest rooms, it still feels like a pretty intimate experience. And there hasn't ever been any fear of interacting with these folks. And, you know, these are senior level agency folks and professionals that have tremendous experience and are known for their expertise in their fields. And just being able to have that dialogue right there, real time, the unscripted stuff that isn't in the PowerPoint presentations is sometimes it is always the most important stuff. And I think that's why, one of the reasons why people love being here.
And Ryan, I mean, I know other than the times that I'm dragging you down here to the first level to do these, you have a lot of your own work that you're doing. You have a ton of clients, you know, through Gray Robinson, but I don't think I've asked you that question while we've been sitting together, you know, talking to a bunch of other folks. What has been your reaction with your relationships with your clients that are here, you know, at the conference?
They're strengthened. I actually had, for the first time, a new group of one client came, about five folks who have, you know, typically attended numerous national conferences just because of the work that they do. And they were incredibly complimentary about not only the way that the conference is run, but also the substance. You know, I think the quote was, you know, normally you just hear a lot of sort of platitudes and people patting themselves on the back, whereas here we're talking about implementation of regulations, not only post-rulemaking, but, you know, what is forthcoming after that as well. And so it's gratifying, as always, to know that you've got a very small part, and Jeff was appropriate on the specifier side to bring up, you know, Patrick's involvement and Tracy. Tracy also helps us along with Jamie with the Florida Environmental Network. And you know, Jamie has really stepped in to fill Linda Dickinson's shoes, who was here for 35 years. And she's done a tremendous job of ensuring that the trains run on time. And so, I mean, all of that has led to the familial feel of the Florida Environmental Network and the Environmental Permitting Summer School, which I like to think, in addition to the location and our good partners at the JW Marriott and the Chamber, kind of lead to the success year over year.
Yeah, I think it's one of those things is like also the connection that you have in the Florida Chamber. When we spoke with Frank Walker earlier, and that was great. It's like, but it seems like you have a solid, longstanding foundation for these relationships with, especially your you know, a lot of your larger sponsors. I mean, they're here every year. Their participation gets wider and wider. I think, was it Lewis Longman and Walker, like 85% of their staff, you know, they now have coming, and they just celebrated obviously their 30th year, which is great. But it's got to be pretty gratifying to see. It's like you've done something that it is. It's more relational, and Florida's that way anyway. Mm-hmm. You know, I think, and so you have to be gratified by that. Yeah.
It's been fantastic. Our longstanding sponsors, really. I think they've learned how to maximize the value of this place, and they're coming back year after year is a pretty solid indicator that there's value to being down here. It's also fun to roll out new features and new perks and get that feedback. There, you know, the hotel is open for all kinds of new things. So, you know, it's nice to see some new things happening each year. And we get some great ideas. I think it was Sea and Shoreline last year that gave us some ideas that we ended up incorporating into some sponsor stuff this year. Phillips and Jordan's the same way with their coffee break. That's now famous, you know. It's fun. It's fun to see the sponsors innovate, and we're a very permissive place and encourage that kind of innovation. And it all shakes out in a better conference each year. I'm going to give kudos to one more group. It's always fun to see what biotech's going to do each year. And this year they really stepped up. If you don't know what I'm talking about, if you're not down here, you won't know. But the lounge, so in our exhibit hall, which is normally just a typical exhibit hall, it's kind of fun on the Wednesday reception, but they busted some couches out.
I would say it is the most interesting exhibit hall I've ever been in, I guess, this year being the standout, obviously.
Well, and think of the opportunities, the 39th annual and 40th annual.
Yeah, 40 is going to be fun.
Environmental permitting summer school lends itself to. So,
any parting words, gentlemen, before we hang this one up?
I mean, thank you is always the appropriate response, right? Thank you to you, Brett, for having a presence down here. Thank you to our sponsors and the JW Marriott, the Florida Chamber, and the attendees. You know, I think every year we think, can it get any better? Can it get any bigger? And so far, every year it seems to overperform, and I'm pretty sure that trend is going to continue.
I'm very thankful to Jamie. Jamie has really, really done a great job. She had big shoes to fill, and she has filled them, and the improvements that we're seeing are really a lot of fun.
Is that a copy of the specifier you have right there?
It is.
Can you open up the back page and tell people what useful information is there?
We have an entire back page ad space that we could offer to a sponsor or advertiser, but instead we're excited to reveal the dates of next year's conference, July 15th through 18th, 2025, right back here in Marco, Ireland at the JW Marco Marriott.
I think it's a good place to stop. Be there, be square. Thanks, guys.
Thanks,
appreciate
Brett.
It.
Thanks, Brett.
Welcome back to the Florida Specifier Podcast. I'm here, Ryan Matthews, with Brett Cyphers. We're thrilled today to be with Frank Walker from the Florida Chamber of Commerce, and also, much like our previous guest, Spencer Toole, I think I've known Frank since 1996.
Wow.
Yeah.
I guess the one big question we'll start off with is, Frank always been the best dressed person wherever he goes? Because he certainly, I think, is right up there for a winner for summer school this year.
Pretty suave. I would classify Frank as pretty suave. The outfits are getting fancier. I think that might be a little bit from Katie, his wife.
Let's also consider competition here, folks. It's a group of engineers.
And lawyers. So you can always spot the consultant, right? The consultant's the guy who's got something that the color is sharp, to say the least.
There's one on the throne with red pants that we all know about, so we're all aiming for him.
Yeah, I think you took a shot at the perch this go-around, sir. So well played. You know, I'll let Ryan talk about this a bit because you have your relationship with a summer school that's now in its 38th year. Yeah. For me, I'm more interested in your personal experience, your personal interactions, and what you get out of your time here in Marco Island. It's a beautiful place. Everyone that does what we do for a living is here. But what do you get out of it?
Yeah, so I've been coming down really every year since I moved back to Florida. You know, I was up in D.C. for about 10, 12 years. And when I came back down, I'd done energy and environmental policy in D.C., so this quickly was something that was on my radar that I wanted to come and kind of learn the state side of a lot of those issues I'd been working on federally, and it quickly became something that was circled on the calendar a year out. I knew that middle week in July I was going to be down in Marco Island. Incredible amount of work can be done in a very short period of time, because you've got really just a buffet of the who's who from a regulator side, but also potential business partners, stakeholders, smattering of elected officials, and not just at the state level, a lot of local folks as well. And then, I mean, from a personal perspective, this is probably one of the only weeks where Dad, from a work perspective, has any actual utility with the family. I mean, they're actually excited to join this one. I heard somebody call a couple of hotels that are known for conferences up in the central part of the state, cans of air conditioning. Yeah, there's definitely some of that. This is a very different view. My girls have grown to love coming up here and spending time with the Matthews clan and making new friends as well. And when your photo stream comes up and you see pictures of the girls from 4, 5, 6, 7 years ago, we're really kind of watching them grow up with this backdrop.
We've got 3 chances to have one of our girls get married here, and I think we need to aim for that.
There you go.
Yeah, well, I mean, good luck with that. I have 3 daughters, so yeah.
You've got 3 chances too.
I've been told that the bride's parents pay for the wedding, though. So maybe we look at one of those cans of air conditioning in Central Florida.
Myself as a non-traditional guy in that sense, but yeah, we'll see how that goes. Ryan, do you want to talk about a little bit of the history there of in terms of where this conference started and the relationship between the chamber and the conference itself?
I do. I mean, I'd love to start sort of with Frank's stylish outfits from, the more professionally. I mean, the chamber is synonymous with the Environmental Permitting Summer School, has been really since its inception. And I've gone and in every conversation I've had, it's unbelievable, and Frank knows it better than anyone, you know, to sit here in what I mistakenly call the 13th largest economy in the world, but the 15th largest economy in the world in the state of Florida, and watch the practitioners of environmental law and policy interact. Because, you know, again, I think there's no sort of critical pinch point for our state's future is maintaining our natural resources, maintaining the ability to have this be a reasonable and sensible place to live. And I think the chamber does such great work there. And I think from Frank's point of view, I'd love to hear sort of what does the chamber get out of that relationship with the Environmental Permitting Summer School?
Sure. And it's a storied history. I actually had a conversation last night with our CEO Emeritus, Frank Ryle, who's kind of, if there's a Hall of Fame of chamber executives nationwide, he's first ballot Hall of Famer. Been with the chamber for over 40 years. And we were talking about when the chamber moved from Jacksonville over to Tallahassee in the mid-70s. It was soon thereafter that the relationship with Frank and Chuck Littlejohn started. It was on the chamber lobby team. Back then, this was a much smaller event, but there was also a short course, an environmental short course. They put out an environmental handbook on an annual basis. And it really kind of grew and became a not just a hallmark event, but was an important part of the chamber's underlying mission. And when you look at that mission to secure Florida's future, one of the three components in our kind of six pillars is vibrant and sustainable communities. And it's the reality that people come to Florida for the environment, not in spite of it. It really is one of our greatest economic development tools and competitive advantages that we have against not just other states, but frankly, the other regions of the world. So this summer school really has become just kind of a punctuation point on what's a year-long movement to unite the business community around the reality that protecting our unique natural heritage makes good business sense. Mm-hmm. And at the end of the day, I think the fact that this event sells out each year within what feels like minutes of registration opening up, that speaks volumes to kind of the shared commitment of attendees, stakeholders, and the broader business community to continue that legacy.
One of the really most important parts that I've noticed of late in having some of these conversations, we spoke with Robert Williams, former general counsel at DEP, about this. And I even had a conversation in the hallway this morning of a current general counsel, a large environmental agency, and they said they love to come here because they can kind of sit as a fly on the wall and hear what folks like your members are thinking or reacting to these policies as they change over time. We've got some significant ones, obviously, this year with the new stormwater rule. And so I think it's really been invaluable for them as well. I think that they see it that way. And so I think y'all are part of something really special in that regard.
Perfect. Yeah, and Frank, I mean, you know, obviously the Florida Chamber is a member-driven organization. And, you know, your position here is well-founded. Everyone is enamored with the business community's relationship with our state's natural resources. Do you feel that your members get the same benefit from being here? Do you hear that from your members about, you know, if you're going to be in a one-stop shop, this is the place to be?
It's one of those unique events where there's a phrase that you hear in Tallahassee, and then as folks are leaving this event, and it's see you in Marco. And it's very much a kind of calling card of that's when we're going to be getting together as one united business community of stakeholders to talk about all of these issues. And from the members that I speak to, this has really become an opportunity not only for them to talk about what they've got next on the horizon, but also, to Brett's point, learn from other stakeholders, you know, to a degree, competitors, but also peers about best practices, new technologies, new strategies, all with that kind of underlying perspective of what we do decides what Florida we pass on to the next generation. And I think there is a shared commitment within the business community that what we're doing today in some of these areas, whether it's sustainability or resiliency or long-term growth planning, really is a responsibility that is securing a legacy that a lot of my members are very committed to leaving behind in a positive way so that the next generation of business leaders has the same advantages that they had.
Frank, tell us a little bit about some upcoming chamber events. I know that there is certainly a number of big ticket items on the calendar every year, but I know we're fastly approaching some of those.
Sure. So this is definitely one that I circle early and often on my calendar, but next month we'll be up in Orlando for our annual Tech and Innovation Summit. And then quickly thereafter will be our annual meeting, the Future of Florida Forum, which is really kind of the opportunity to take the entire year's worth of events and track where we are from a progress perspective on those Blueprint 2030 goals, which really is kind of our North Star guiding compass of where we're trying to take the state between now and that 2030 mark. Looking out into the next year, you know, something that has some tendrils into this event, this conference, is our annual leadership cabinet on safety, health, and sustainability. This past May, we had Michael Phelps as our keynote speaker talking about mental health, but a big component of that entity that we've stood up out of the chamber in the last couple of years has been around sustainability, and not sustainability in the form of governmental mandates, fiats, but really business-led private sector best practices around sustainability that have been implemented because they make good business sense. And I think the business community is strongest when it learns from itself, from its diversity of membership. That's an initiative that I'm excited about seeing grow over time. And I think a lot of the folks that are part of the Permitting Summer School are going to eventually be part of that effort as well.
And if our listeners want to find, you know, further details about that, where is it best to do?
Sure. I think just go to our website, flchamber.com. We've got an events drop-down page, but also, you know, a pretty robust leadership cabinet webpage with a sustainability council that's being built out. Or just drop me a line, fwalker@flchamber.com. Love hearing from folks as we come out of the conference who have momentum around ideas or, you know, discussion items. The point of this is not for it to just be a week. It's a punctuation mark on a year-round effort.
Yeah, I think that's well said. And I can't thank the Chamber enough for being a part of creating this from the beginning and for you being with us today as we close out this session.
Amen to that.
Hey, I appreciate the opportunity to join you guys. It's a tough act to follow, Spencer Toole. I mean, you want to talk about best dressed, but I appreciate the opportunity and really you guys' work behind the scenes on this event. I know that it does not come together quickly. It is a extraordinary undertaking, but one that we're proud to sponsor and partner with you guys on.
Thanks a lot, Frank.
Well, we hope you enjoyed that conversation, especially with Frank Walker in the Chamber of Commerce. Jeff, Brett, and I had the pleasure of recapping a little bit of the conference that was winding down. You could certainly hear in Jeff's voice that it was an exhaustive exercise. But we're thrilled to be looking ahead to 2025. And in that vein, again, as we mentioned at the top of the show, if you have an idea for an article or want to sponsor a podcast, please reach out to myself or Brett or Jamie Sheehan or Pat Gillespie as it relates to the Florida Specifier newspaper.
Yeah. Production of the podcast is by Carl Sorn and David Barfield at Lonely Fox Studios. Thanks again to Bagels and Biscuits, who are kind enough to let us use their music for the show. Make sure you check them out as well, wherever you get your music. And I think that's it. For Ryan Matthews, I'm Brett Cyphers. We'll see you next time.